The focus in setting efforts of South African revenue services, because of that, in and out. are covered in program 3.8. wir dem hier auf ein Hinterhalt Management entsetzen. Perfectly, the implementation of the General Budget Management Accounting Principles, the rollout of the integrated financial management system and the current system in the data logging program and review and amendment of the Public Finance Management Act, the Municipal Finance Management Act, and the Financial Procurement Framework Act. Fourthly, is the developing of a learning framework. This learning framework is aimed at the finance practitioners within government. Fifth is the promotion of supply chain management compliance. And sixth is the straight step to secure sound and sustainable fiscal and financial management in municipalities. And lastly, to adapt the financial management capability maturity model for all three spheres of government. So that is just the important, so that as we go through this, you have an idea of how to do that. This is how we have organized them, the program. The first program has to do with administration. The program provides strategic leadership to the department and also incorporates the ministry, which is the office of the minister, the office of the deputy minister. It involves the office of the director general and the public services department. So it is a support function to all the line programs. The program two focuses on public finance and budget management. And I must say that as we were doing this update, and we were using the template from the original strategic plan that was tabled, and the template will still be referring to economic training and budget management, but it should actually be public finance and budget management. Program 3 is asset and liability management, which basically drives government borrowing requirements and provides oversight over the financial activities of the state-owned enterprises. Program 4 is financial management and systems. This program is responsible for the implementation of the integrated financial management system and procurement reform and supply chain management issues that I have mentioned. Program 5 is financial accounting and reporting, which is based in the Office of the Accountant General. Program 6 is economic policy and international financial relations. The reason why program 2 is not about policy, economic training and public finance management, because economic policy has been removed from program 2 and has been put in program 3. And program 7 is provincial and local government transfer, fiscal transfer, and program 8 is civil and military pension contributions to funds and other benefits. So that is how we have structured the department. Now, getting into the actual activities of the program, but in program 2, which is public finance and budget management. And I said it's comprised of three divisions, the budget office, public finance, and income tax. The budget office coordinates the income budget process and ensures prudent resource allocation, including drain for money in spending across government, including the structuring of departmental goals, the project brought to an end during the 2010-2011 financial year, enhancing the quality of performance information contained in budget documents. This to find primarily in the estimates of income expenditure. Public finance is the primary link with all income departments and other government entities. So it focuses on targeted sectoral studies as part of the comprehensive expenditure review, include the alignment between policy framework and public spending, and lastly, move forward the reform of social security and health insurance. Intergovernmental Relations Division is what public finance is for national departments. Intergovernmental Relations focuses on provinces and municipalities. And the focus over the medium term will be to ensure effective and sufficient technical support in infrastructure delivery programs to all land provinces in health, education, and public works departments. Increase the infrastructure planning support to more municipalities from 15 in 2010 to 27 in 2012 and 2013, improved financial management support for provinces budget formulation and budget analysis. We are still running this training. They are online courses, and we are now transferring them to Panama so that they become part of their curriculum. The last area that is this program is doing technical and management support. And this is a subgroup program that comprises external support for capacity building initiatives of the three programs we teach. It constitutes of the technical assistance unit, the public private partnership unit, the training stress work staff unit, the infrastructure delivery improvement program, and lastly the neighborhood development partnership grant. Program 3 is assets and liability management. This program manages and minimizes the rising deficit cost, finances the government's borrowing requirements as we table in the time of the budget. It also has the responsibility of retaining and attracting new investors in government debt. And it also has to contribute to ensure adequate focus for government can be to meet the liquidity requirements at all times. To improve the semi-annual sovereign credit rating review assessment of South Africa's economic and financial context, South Africa is currently rated by four rating agencies with the responsibility of this division to basically protect the sovereign credit through an engagement with the rating agencies. The division also contributes to the alignment of DFI to their mandate and to government developmental agenda. And lastly, the division also focuses on reviewing the stakeholder enterprises to improve performance and efficient use of government resources. Program 4 is financial management and systems. This program focuses on maintaining and supporting the current financial management system and working out the integrated financial management system, IFMS. At the moment, the immediate priority to implement the asset procurement and the HR management module in this slide over the next 3 years. And that we will also be migrating departments to complete the IFMS module and then retire the legacy system that has been migrated. Fourth is to create a user support capacity at FIFA. In the pickup role as a primary system integrator, the PFI. Introducing strategic sourcing principles for all spheres of governance, and the table in the update here spells out the exact target of the implementation of the strategic sourcing principles. Alignment of the sequential procurement with the aims of the BBBWC Act, and supply chain compliance monitoring and combating supply chain management related costs. And lastly, efforts to root out corruption and fraud in the award of tender. Program 5, which is financial accounting and reporting, basically the most of the accountants general, focuses on operationalizing and enhancing the special audit services process to develop fraud detection guidelines for supply chain processes. We also be introducing a Chartered Accountant Academy 65 trainee by 2020. To create an annual financial statement reporting pair for the international and provincial departments. Firstly, the division has to have consolidated annual financial statement for the international departments by the 31st of March 2010. Is a quantum of internal audit review in 26 municipalities by the 31st of March 2012. And lastly, improving financial management in government, including through projects in the financial management improvement program. The last core program of the Department of Economic Policy and International Financial Relations, comprises of three divisions: economic policy, the tax and financial sector policy division, and lastly, international and regional economic policy division. The focus of these divisions are to review the effectiveness of the financial sector regulatory system, finalizing a response to the rating and final recommendations, then publishing policy papers on Gerçekten kavan kaydın, gemisinin hediye maddesinin ultimately, roadmap for integrated and review of the subfield revenue formula and enhancing the accessibility to financial services, a reform of the system of finance funding, improving economic policy advice and forecasting in the new global environment, and finalizing the discussion paper on wage subsidies as the committee has set the line of the budget, and lastly, conducting a review of economic growth advice provided in various studies of the government. Those are the core programs of the treasury. What follows now are the transfer programs. Program 7 is the provincial and local government transfer. This program will continue to facilitate the transfer of grants to both provinces and municipalities to the structure transfer program, the RMI. Program 8 is the civil and military payment contributions for funds and other benefits. And this is responsible for the payment and administration of civil and military pensions, namely civil pensions. This includes federal pensions, political office bearers pensions, ex-president pensions, injuries from duty, post-retirement medical benefits, and parliamentary awards and retired service pensions. Military pensions and other benefits, these are payments of military benefits and payments to service providers for military medical expenses. And last year, I must have said here that there has been a separation of the administration from the fund, that is the EBF, which was completed, and the government component responsible for administering both program 8 and the civil pension was established on the 1st of April. Change that is the government change of the agency. So it has been separated from the GDP that is the GDP and GCA will be separated. And lastly is the program 1, which is the administration, which is the support to the rest of the treasury program, which ensures that we have a modern, efficient, and integrated ICT. All inward focus is meant to assist this beautiful lodge in the treasury to deliver on their money. It's also developed from implement and maintain an integrated, progressive, and innovative HR strategy, which is at the heart of the development of people in the treasury. We are also having now in place an integrated knowledge management system and infrastructure to support the knowledge management system. This program also ensures that the sound financial management and government according to best practices as described by the Accountant General. And we also provide a secure and enabling working environment for our staff. And lastly, implement the supply chain management strategy as part of the rollout of the IFMS. The National Treasury is one of the lead sites of the rollout of the procurement management module. When I talked earlier on about putting computer IFMS module in lead sites, the Treasury is one such site with respect to procurement. I thought now because there are other projects that are cutting across the program that can be squarely located within one program, and that require coordination between the programs in the treasury, but also more importantly, coordination with other government departments. One such project is the Social Security and Health Insurance Reform project, which involves the Department of Social Development, Labor, Department of Public Service and Administration, the Public Service and Department of Health. The Comprehensive Expenditure Review, which is led by the Presidency and involves the provincial treasuries and all department clusters. The Supply Chain Management and Fraud Detection Awareness Project, which is involves the Department of Justice, Office of the Auditor General of the Police, Department of Public Service and Administration, Public Works, CISA, and the provincial treasury. The next project, which is related to municipal finance management issues, which involves the cooperative governance and traditional affairs department and provincial treasury. There's a program that I didn't touch here, which is program 9, which is basically foreign Independent as a social security, you will find that it's put up on the performance contract of Mr. Johnson and on the performance contract of Mr. Omanya. So we bring it to the scientific then and we can take it into the performance contract of the individual. So that is where you get the feedback. In terms of the table here, you will find that we have started the annual year program. Program 9, you know, things that you do over a year come to take up with you. See, it was there in the original plan. When we did the update last year, we didn't include it because there were no changes for that program, and we should do the same thing for this year. But if it is the desire of the committee, it's not a difficult thing for us to say, but it will literally be one thing, because you know, if it's a thing, it's a transfer to the international market. The Dr. George, the question on consultant fees rising, so you can rest a comfortably with your court. Nothing to do with lots of consulting and running with the federal. It has to do with one issue. We have to ramp up the infrastructure civil improvement program. That infrastructure civil improvement program entails us getting to get engineers and project managers to go on the ground and assist provinces in the rollout of the infrastructure. So that is why you saw the that rise in the
compromise. If however you buy
But you don't spend 100 rand on them and you spend 80 rand on them. That is failure. That is what we need to encourage. And that is what we were talking about, getting value for money. Getting our land to work harder than it actually is working at the moment. Put differently. You should be asking as a film community, you should be asking the question, what is the money that we have allocated you by? Don't come here and tell us that you didn't have enough money or you do not have enough money. Show us what you have delivered with the little money that you have had. And that is what needs to be a kind of thing. That is a very good thing. It has to be distinguished from understanding where money has simply not been spent. And what that would mean is that there is a citizen somewhere who is supposed to have received a service and used it, a service and that service delivery is compromised. The Council General will talk about the PSMA and FMA, the country will review. Ismail Momania will talk about the post office ban.
Thank you. being done to monitor procurement issues. I think the DGA talked about the roles and responsibilities of the collection authorities and accounting officers, and obviously there's an issue here also about oversight. FMA, the middle one needs to point out here that the last cabinet decision on the matter directed that there be an interaction between a few departments, including the Treasury and one of the issues. And that engagement is taking place, depending on that engagement, the outcome thereof, the intention is that the bill be submitted back to cabinet by November. One cannot preempt the cabinet process, and therefore that's why in the framework has got a clear distinction of roles and responsibilities. And we therefore recognize that the success of the effort of the work that is being done in all of the areas that I've identified relies largely on all the volunteers fulfilling that responsibility. The accounting officers, the various authorities, and political oversight in the form of parliament. So this is my
slide number 4 from Mr. President. Thank you.
Our attempt in this strategy to honor our own. sustained low yielding activities focus on education of the service and other compliance initiatives in terms of our national protection. As you know, we employ about 15,000 employees in many towns and cities around our country. So it's important that we continue to redirect our efforts towards the most yielding activities in our enterprise. And then those resources that are released through our strategic decisions have been deployed to engage with taxpayers around education and compliance, including making over 1 million calls to taxpayers to remind them of their obligations during the previous financial year. These advances in compliance are translating into the serious revenue gain in support of government priorities. At the end of our financial year on the 31st of March, we were able to deliver an extra 8.1 billion more revenue than anticipated, while clearly stronger than anticipated economic recovery plays a significant part in this revenue boom. The web special compliance initiatives from us that accounted for over 23 billion in additional revenue, which is, we did not really deploy some of these resources to, so probably not have collected in the last year. Now, coming back to the key issues that, that I mentioned in the content of the slide, we have seen that in this strategic period, our strategy over the last 5 years, has been to focus on service enhancement, for this is where the greatest challenge and the scope for improvement have been. In addition, we have fixed administration burden and provided efficient services to taxpayers and traders, and we use this as a preferred motivator for voluntary compliance. The gains that we have achieved in easing the burden of compliance now provide the space honorable members and the legitimacy for much more stricter enforcement. And we will, over the coming years, increase and turn our attention to enforcement. So that's the first key issue that we consider around government enforcement. This also in response to the growing international nature of taxation, in seeking tax arbitrage opportunities, supporting complex and highly technical tax evasion programs by what we have seen as really immoral financial advisory services. Curbing this trend requires both closer cooperation between Texas authorities as the minister has mentioned, as well as investing in specialist audit and financial management skills so that we are able to identify and investigate the evasion, which is frequently through in seemingly this focus on enforcement, honorable members, was always planned as a second phase of our modernization journey. But its timing in response to the changing environment in which revenue collections around the world, as the minister mentioned, is under pressure, could not have come at a more opportune time for us and for our people. So the key focus areas in our strategic plan for 2010 is to continue to build on our foundation of compliance with strategies to further enhance our service, prioritize education, and to strengthen, more importantly, our enforcement. So you will see a major focus on enforcement. The other key issues that we have to consider when we formulated our strategic outcome was the importance of building capacity in the tax administration. So the second key focus of our strategic plan is that we must continue to build and invest in skilled professional performance driven and value-based, you know, driven by a value-based institution which is able to deliver on its mandate in a sustainable way. This requires measures to enhance the efficiencies of staff, expand the skills of our people, and ensure
research also indicates that countries that pursue reform in customs generally achieve improvement in revenue collection and an international compliance and an administration efficiency framework, which provide benefits in relation to both government and the international trading community. At a time when technology developments are changing the world of international trade and travel, our focus is to minimize the level of customs intervention in cargo movement and to maximize the level of trade facilitated by reconditionalizing our core customs processing systems to help facilitate trade, enhancing risk management techniques to better identify suspect import and export routine, implementing new philosophies on customs and border control, and engaging with the private sector partners in mutual beneficial alliances. This focus, Honorable Chair, manifests itself in the customs modernization agenda that places aging legacy systems with a locally developed cutting edge integrated customs and border management solution. This solution, which we are working on in this strategic pivot that we are talking about, is already in use and it was locally developed by South Africa. And it's been tested in a European country, Luxembourg, in this case. And we believe it will allow us for a seamless movement of goods and passengers, while at the same time, we believe it will also enhance our ability to identify risk in the processing and thereby focusing our enforcement resources on high-risk consignment. A key component of this strategic approach is the concept of a trusted trader model, in which key stakeholders who meet fixed criteria, which is defined up front, of self-regulation, will enjoy benefits of a more effective movement of goods. This solution provides the opportunity for massive gains in streamlining and improving supply chain security for all stakeholders, not only for South Africa, but for its neighbors and other regional partners. The minister told me that beyond the total, we also received a request from Swaziland for us to support them in building a seamless movement of goods in us and our neighbors. And we believe that we continue to explore this collaboration in Africa, particularly through our African Trade Administration Forum. So, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, what are our strategic outcomes? And I will go quickly through it because they are very thoroughly enunciated in our strategic plan. We have 7 strategic outcomes. The first one is to drive revenue realization to deliver now and to ensure sustainability. This comes from enhanced compliance of taxpayers and traders achieved through a range of outcomes, which will include very quickly a better and more detailed understanding of compliance levels across the different taxpayer and trader segments so that we can allow more targeted service and education and enforcement initiatives. So segmentation is very important. But similarly, audit and customs inspections indicator towards the end of our presentation, we see that there are clear and quantifiable indicators that we have identified to measure performance in our strategic plan. The strategic plan therefore contains tangible, measurable, and very specific outcomes and outputs which we have set ourselves as targets for delivery. This will be reported in our annual report for the medium term ahead, and we have built corresponding measures into performance forecasts of our business areas and individuals, most of them are here. Such an approach is not new to us, and we are fortunate to have a head start in beginning to implement and refine performance management that are tied to deliverables within our organization over the next few years. Yet, this public undertaking, we believe, on which our success will be scrutinized, now demands an even greater organizational focus and alignment, of traditional, business units and individual targets and measures to overall outcomes of success for ourselves. Alignment was further achieved through the process followed in the development of the strategic plan, a feature of which was the widespread participation of many such employees in the form of surveys, roadshows, and other discussion forums, which encourage contribution to this plan from all levels within the organization. So, really a bottom-up, top-down process. So, we believe that the choices that we've made strategically, are being aligned quite intensely with the rest of the organization. It's equally important that our plans and ambitions are aligned to available resources. In this regard, our strategic plan is designed to match our projected expenditure. As you can see, we have our expenditure framework for the next 2 years. In concluding, honorable members, as the providers of revenue which fuel government delivery, we are acutely aware that our performance has a direct impact on performance throughout the public sector. It's both humbling and inspiring to have such an important and pivotal mandate. This strategic plan that we present is our vision for how we intend to meet this mandate. And it is in so doing, it meets the high expectations of the ultimate beneficiaries of the constituents today as government, the people of our country. It is the people of South Africa who must benefit from the jobs created through economic growth fostered by effective administration, efficient service, and streamlined trade. In this, the people of South Africa who, by embracing the social contract, must benefit from expanded and accelerated government delivery funded by higher revenue collections on the back of economic growth and enhanced compliance. And it is the people of South Africa who must benefit from a dedicated service that is cost-efficient, people-centered, value-driven, and above all, trustworthy and corruption-free. With that, I thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think in the way you summarized your presentation, plan presentation, and going
taken the and delivered a good measure to an honorable member, and I know he's not here, to use our bill system, to use the principles and the environment under which the dedication, the commitment of people wanting to come and
Last year in October for public comment, we
addressing each other and they're looking for it. The general. Where's the general? Where's the general? At that point, people are just watching. It's all good that they're coming in and no good is doing anything. Now, I then volunteered to go and declare. I arrived there. There's no voice who could address the system in about it. And I told Jim, you better do something about this. It is important that the rain is issued. Now, if you're talking about training and capacitation of people that can be different, go at that level so that you can tell them. The issue of what I'm addressing is taking the same. My sense is that it is a cross-cutting issue, not a matter that only relates to that. As we have been told before, that there is an initiative for that particular issue. And I have said it is important that there is a chance. We can't tell the very people how to handle the matter. But it would be important that this matter is addressed as quickly as possible. If you're dealing with the 20 times of cut that is coming in the next 58 days or 57 days, and we have not really checked out our system on this particular issue, we are going to run into the problem. So our problem is proposed that at some point, might need to actually request all the workers involved in this matter to come and make a full briefing on what is happening and what is it that is going to happen from here on out, so that we are very, very clear on how we should do it. I thought I should raise this issue before the upper delegation and respond to other issues. But it's important to come to the information. And I was very taken away about what I saw in terms of the company for our time in Canada and in the area of the money. Thank you.
Last time, I'm taking a Thank you.